Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's the Grapevine on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. And we have a special guest with us from Watkins Glen, a chef I've known a long time, Orlando Rodriguez. Good morning, Orlando.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. And it's amazing the change you've made over just the last year. You were working at Glenora and doing large events, big weddings, and now you've got a tiny restaurant. It's really, I think it's kind of cool. And what sort of, as you look back, how are things different for you now, I guess, with being able to concentrate on such a small restaurant and, it's such a transition.
So it is, excuse me, it is a big transition. We went from, I went from doing 40 some weddings a year and corporate events and all kinds of events all year round, plus regular service and doing breakfast, lunch and dinner and, all that stuff. So, but it was great working there. Had a great experience. We, over the years, over the 12 years that I was there, we were able to grow and expand, and it was it was a good time. But I thought, it's when you get older, it's time to slow down a little bit. And that was my goal, was to slow down a little bit and spend time with the family and do something a little smaller. So that's kind of where the transition happened, and it just kind of happened at the right time at that time in November. I mean, we reopened in November, but it all started back in May, where we started chatting and talking about possibly buying Graft Wine and Cider Bar. So and then we reopened in November, and
just in time for the pandemic.
Yeah, and then the pandemic happened, but we're holding on. We're still open. We just cut our hours back to 2 days a week and doing what we can for now.
Sure.
And it's just not me, though. It's all the restaurants that are suffering in the area, so all over the world also. So,
yeah.
But we're working with it, so. And we understand it's nothing that we had control over, so.
And what did you like about the space at Graft? It's got some history. So, it's right in downtown.
Yeah, it's right in downtown Watkins. I think it's in a great location, not too far from the pier, a couple blocks. Graft already had a good following. They also had, it's a very unique little place. We could seat about 35 people in here, but everything that's when they built Graft, they built it in a fact of being using whatever they could within New York to make it, just one cohesive place where everything kind of blends together. So everything here is down to the artists that we use and down to the craftsmen that we use, down to, if you look at the tables that we have, that was all built by people in the local area. So it just, they put a lot of thought into what they did, and it was great. And it was just I used to come here to eat also, and it was a neat little place, and it's a great place for gatherings, and people really like it.
Well, it's known for quality food. I mean, they have really, really good food, and that makes it easier to take over space where people, maybe don't realize you took over, come and discover still has really good food. I mean, that reputation really helps when you take over a space.
Yeah, they had a really good reputation. They, they had the same philosophy that I've had, where, using local and using, the best ingredients that you can to make the food that that we produce here. So,
and I think the space has there's a tin ceiling. There's sort of old storefront windows that look out on Main Street, and
yes.
It's just a lovely, lovely spot. It was Atwater Vineyards that owned it. And had it as a tasting room initially, and then transitioned into Graft Wine and Cider Bar. And so I've looking forward to getting down and seeing what's on your menu. What are some of the things you're offering now while it's still kind of in shutdown mode?
So we started doing some share stuff on the menu where, you know, you can buy something and share it with somebody else, just kind of keep costs low. And we understand that some people aren't working right now. We change the menu on a weekly basis. So for this past week, we were doing a spring green salad, which, you know, with local tomatoes. We got greens from Plowbreak Farms. We have radishes from Plowbreak Farms. We had goat cheese from Lally Run. We did some salted cashews on it, and then we did some spring ramps. I did a spring ramp vinaigrette also with it. We got some local spring ramps from the area.
The ramps, kind of like an onion. People are becoming more aware of them. They are they're really delicious.
Yeah, they're like a wild onion. They like to grow like in really wet areas. And this is, you know, they only last about 4 to 6 weeks, not even that long, depending on where you're picking them. But yeah.
And these are the kinds of seasonal things you can do more easily with a small restaurant than with previously the larger restaurant and big events. It's you need
that is true. We
for big events you need predictability.
Yeah, we used to change our menu at Glenora like every on a seasonal basis. It was like four times a year, but here I'm able to change it basically whenever I want. So we're doing it on a weekly basis on what we can get. So we also did a shaved asparagus salad this week. We're getting a local coho salmon from a gentleman out of Auburn. Great product, great supporter. They're doing a really nice job with their salmon. We also did a marinated Ithaca soy tofu. We're doing chicken right now. We did a jaropa vieja this week, which is a braised shredded beef with the jasmine rice and pinto beans, and, you know, just give it a little bit of my flair in the background where I came from, or my ethnicity, what I grew up with.
Are there some other dishes you're looking forward to making from your background, or maybe that your mother made or grandmother?
Yeah, in the winter I did a sancocho, which basically is like a seven meat stew I change it around a little bit depending on what I can get in the area, but, you know, we use like celery root in it and yuzu, and then potatoes and onions and, you know, all these root vegetables that we got was sourced from the area, and it made it taste very similar to how they do it also. So
Orlando Rodriguez. What's that?
Just playing a little bit around with what I can get and what I can do. So.
Sure. Orlando Rodriguez is with us, the chef owner of Graft Wine and Cider Bar, which is in downtown Watkins Glen. And what's your background, Orlando, for people who haven't met you before? I feel like I know you quite well after, I don't know, a dozen years of talking to you and interviewing you. But for people who don't, what's your background? Where did you learn about cooking?
So I grew up originally in Connecticut. I was first born here in the United States. My parents came over from the Dominican Republic. Food was always a passion in our – was always a center of attention in our family that I remember since I was a kid. We loved eating together, just getting together as a family. Whenever there was a birthday or an event or Christmas or any kind of holiday, we always got together. We were a big family. When we get together, even nowadays, when we get together, we're, you know, even though a lot of us moved on and moved to different states, we're about 80 to 100 people when we get together. So it's a pretty big party. Although you can't do it right now, but
right.
Yeah, and then from there, I loved food. I don't know, just not just eating food, but making food and seeing people enjoy it. Ever since I was a kid, I was the one that, you know, my sisters would say, I don't know if they were just trying to trick me or not, that when I was younger, like between 8 or 10 or 11, that I would make the best sandwiches. That's what they would say. We're talking just like ham and cheese. But they said I would make the best sandwiches with the grilled cheese. And I was the one that, I don't know if they were tricking me to make the food. But,
could be.
You know, that's what they would say. But anyways, eventually when I was in high school, I decided I wanted to go to culinary school. And I ended up going to the Culinary Institute of America, graduated from there in 99 with a bachelor's degree in management.
And
then from there, I went and worked for a gentleman in Ridgefield, Connecticut, which it was called the Elms Restaurant and Tavern back then. A gentleman called Brendan Walsh. He actually was very well known in the city. So he ended up opening in Ridgefield, Connecticut, which was, you know, out of the city. But it was a tavern and a restaurant. So we ran two restaurants out of one line, out of one kitchen. Tavern side, we served, like, you know, just bangers and mash and burgers and, like, liver and, you know, stuff, very simple stuff you can get out. And then on the other side was the restaurant side. It was rated 4 stars by the New York Times, and we produced that food out of there also. So we did fine dining and post tavern food at the same time.
Wow.
From there, I ended up going to a place in Greenwich, Connecticut, worked there for about a year. That was a 2-star restaurant also by the New York Times. And after that, I ended up moving up here to the Finger Lakes because we wanted to get out of the city life. And more, you know, we had a family. We had 3 kids back then. And that's how I ended up here in upstate New York.
So when were you looking for a position in the Finger Lakes? Or were you just generally looking and one came up at Glenora?
I was generally looking. We were generally looking all over the place. We were looking for a good year and a half. We looked down in Virginia. We were looking down south a little bit. We looked all over the place because our mom was living in Virginia, so we figured maybe we can go down there, be closer where family was. And then honestly, we were on vacation and there was a job opportunity at Glenora, and they were looking for a chef back then, and I applied. And then after our vacation, we cut it a little bit short, drove out here to the Finger Lakes, checked out the area, talked to a realtor back then, I came and talked to Glenora. There is actually, the day that I came up was one of their jazz concerts, which I didn't realize. But they took their time out of the jazz concert that day, and we had an interview, and it just all, well, you know, we loved the area when we came through. We thought it was great. At that time, not even the Harbor Hotel was built yet. They were looking at, like, once we moved up here, the Harbor Hotel was built like a year later, roughly.
But
so we saw the opportunity of a small town that was growing, and that's one of the reasons we moved up here. Not just because of that, but also cost of living was a little cheaper. It's a lot cheaper than where we were, and we had a family, and, you know, we lived in a second floor apartment. We were able to rent a house when we moved up here, and, you know, give the kids some room to run outside. So
yeah,
it's a whole different lifestyle. So,
and it is a gorgeous, gorgeous region. And coming when there's a jazz, they only do 2 of those jazz concerts each summer, and
yeah,
you know, like 1,500 people on the lawn. That must have been kind of crazy to show up there.
Yeah.
What did the Culinary Institute give you? And kind of what did you take away from that? As you maybe you imagine you're talking to someone who's thinking about going there, or you know, what? How did it impact how you cook?
So the Culinary Institute is French based cooking, which I think they've. When I went, it was more French-based cooking, but they have evolved over the years where they do more. I mean, there was classes back then where they called it Asias, and they show you how to cook different foods that way. But it definitely gives you the basis of like the fundamentals of how to cook and how to, you know, how to, your knife skills and history and the foods and all that stuff. So I think it's a great way to start. But obviously you take what you can out of it. And I think it was a great, for me, it was a great base. I've always imagined, you know, I took that and I took what I grew up with and I have mixed it in with food. So they just teach you the proper way to do things. And it's key to have a base and a fundamental. I mean, you can learn it as you go also in a trade. And there have been people that do that. But it's just a better stepping stone, I think.
I've always known
that I wanted to open a restaurant. At some point in my life, that was my goal before I started school. And that's why I continued my education there, and I got my bachelor's degree in business management while I was there.
And I imagine you probably have chef contacts now all around the world just because of your time there and the people you went to school with.
Yes, and some people that I went to school with actually become, like, have restaurants in the 50, like top 50 in the world. So it's pretty amazing. which, you never think of that while you're going to school. I was young. When I finished, I was in my early 20s. So, but now some of those guys that I've known and went to school together with are very big in the culinary world. So actually, the guy that I used to work for, Brendan Walsh, ended up closing his restaurant years later. And he decided that it was time to retire, and he went to teach at the Culinary Institute of America, and right now he's the dean at the Culinary Institute of America.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. One of the things you did at Glenora was to bring in CIA interns and sort of people to work for the summer, for the busy season, and that must have been kind of fun to be able to, you went to the CIA, so you know what they're going through, and you could work with them in the kitchen at Glenora.
Yeah, it was, every year we try to get at least one or two, and it was great. I mean, it just showed, because these kids come from all over the world, and then it just showed them, like, what we do in the area, how, especially at Glenora, how focused we were on using farm to table and all that stuff. And that's what piqued the interest of the students that came. I mean, it's just not about teaching students. It's also about teaching your staff. I mean, and that's the great thing that, you know, what I taught my staff, they would teach the interns that came in also. So, and it was all, and it wasn't like it was, you know, it was all the same fundamental of cooking. So, you know, the students that came in learned a lot also. So,
yeah. Well, one of the things you did at Glenora was you had a Verasian's restaurant. You had a surprising number of vegan options on the menu, and for years, really long before it was cool to have vegan things on menus.
We started off doing like vegetarian food, and it just every year it kept evolving, and we kept getting more requests, and so we started doing more things. So we ended up doing vegan options. Was always something that we always did on the menu. At least two vegan options and two appetizers, and at least one dessert was always vegan also there. We started, you know, I do that here too, but in a smaller scale, just because I don't know if you ever seen the kitchen here.
It's tiny.
They called it before the tiny kitchen.
Yes.
And it's still called the tiny kitchen. So I can only produce so much out of the kitchen, which is fine with me. I already knew that coming in, but I do try to offer at least one vegan item. That's what I do. And then I work around, you know, if they come in and somebody, you know, any kind of dietary restrictions that people have, I do work around that also. I just feel like only because you have a dietary restriction doesn't mean that you can't have great food. I feel like everybody should, you know, eat the same and have a good time. And you know, it's not their fault that they have a dietary restriction. So,
and you know, ideally, I guess it helps to have a day or two's notice if you know if you have someone coming in, it gives you more options. But again, with a small restaurant, you can do quite a bit on the fly too.
Yeah. Ideally, it is optional. I mean, it is great to have a day or two notice, but if somebody walks in, we deal with it. We give them, you know, we work around with what we have, and we give them the best experience that we can give them. Yeah. So that's a great thing.
And you've been a big part of the Finger Lakes Culinary Bounty in the Finger Lakes, one of the key organizations that's trying to connect the producers of food with the organizations, the restaurants, the consumers. And you've kind of watched that organization grow and helped it grow over these years that you've been in the region.
Yeah, every year we always did a fundraiser down at Geneva on the Lake in August. I don't see it happening this year, but I'm not sure yet. I haven't heard much.
Sure.
But, yeah, it started back when I first got here. And definitely the Finger Lake Culinary Bounty has grown over the years, just connecting the farmers with restaurants. So I think it's been great. I just, over the years that I've been here, just the farmers with the restaurants, and it's just one of those things that's just kind of been evolving naturally. I think it's great because it keeps the local community going, and you definitely get a fresher product, you know, from a guy that's a couple miles down the road.
And for a lot of people who've, you know, been here for lots of years, things have been evolving. The region is getting a lot more notoriety. People are coming from all over the world to the Finger Lakes, and you've been a key part of that. Again, with all the large events and things that you worked, and Watkins Glen is, you know, you've got the third most popular state park in the United States that's right there near you. I'm sure you and your kids and your wife have hiked that many times.
Yeah, we do take advantage of it. We take our dogs for walks there and stuff. So we try to avoid when there's a lot of people there, but we definitely take advantage of the trails around here and go hiking or biking. This past year we got a puppy, so we take him for a lot of walks. Been taking him for a lot of walks down the trails. So,
what kind of puppy?
Far from our house.
What kind of puppy?
What's that? Oh, we got a boxer. He's great though. He just turned a year old in this past month. So,
awesome.
Definitely boxers are full of energy, so you have to take them for walks.
Do you know if you'll be able to do sidewalk dining and things at some point as the reopening phases come, or is that allowed in Watkins Glen?
I'm not sure what's going on. Unfortunately, with what I have, I'm not sure if sidewalk dining works for me. I don't have like outdoor space for dining. At this point, we're just doing curbside takeout.
Sure.
Which, and if we did sidewalk, I mean, literally, I could probably only fit like in front of my store two tables. Everything's kind of like changing on a daily basis, so it's kind of hard to say when the reopening will be and all that stuff. So,
right.
We definitely have seen a little more foot traffic down in Watkins, with people coming into the area on the weekends. I think they're just tired of being cooped up, so they come here and walk the trails and check out the area. So,
and so for your wine and cider list, what kinds of things do you have on there? What's been popular? What are some of your favorites on your list?
So the wine and cider list. So we only sell wine, cider, and beer. And it's all New York State product that we use. One of the ciders that I do like is from Eve Cidery. They do an awesome job with their cider. Some of their stuff kind of tastes almost like having Riesling or having like a white wine. So they just, the way they make their cider, it's pretty amazing. We got stuff from all over the Finger Lakes. We got stuff from like Hazlitt. We have stuff from Berry Farms. We have stuff from like that 9-4 makes. They make wines that are all natural fermentations. They don't add anything. They just let the wine kind of talk for itself and ferment, and they don't add any product. So yeah, I've met a lot of small producers in this area that make great wine also. So
some of them, like 9-4, don't have a tasting room, so people may not be aware of them, but
Josh, they don't
Carlson.
Have tasting rooms. They do ship. I know that. They don't do a tasting room. And I know that the Berry family has a tasting room, but I know they closed it. They just closed their tasting room. They're still going to still produce wine,
right?
And sell wine, but they're not going to have a tasting room.
I love that.
They just shut that down.
I love that tasting room up in Burdett. It was this historic building. It was cool, but it was off the main trail. It was the road to Ithaca, basically, and so it wasn't really part of the Seneca route that most tourists would be traveling.
Yeah, that's true.
But I love the space up there that Ian had. So yeah, I just noticed that they had closed their tasting room and will be continuing to make wine, and Watkins Glen, it's going to be really interesting, post pandemic. Watkins Glen is not that big a place, but someone just posted a great photo of the pier at Watkins Glen, and it was sort of a sunset photo and looking up the lake with the pier sort of going off into the distance, and up on the right is where Paul Hobbs and Johannes Selbach have planted their Rieslings, and they are going to have their first major production from 2019. So that won't be available probably for another year, maybe a little more, but that's going to, I think, going to change some of the dynamics of investment and growth in the Finger Lakes to have such a high-profile winemaker, two high-profile winemakers right on the hill above you. I mean, maybe half a mile outside of Watkins Glen up on the east side. And
they're right there in the Hector Burdett area.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to change. I mean, it has changed over the years. I mean, the amount of wineries that I've seen over the past 13 years that have popped up around here, I mean, the amount of breweries that have popped up and distilleries also that have popped up has been amazing. And everybody has their own unique style. That's the best part. You'll go from one place to another, and you can definitely tell the differences of every producer. So that's the great thing. It's not all the same. You can have one Riesling from one guy and go, two buildings down, and it'll be totally different flavor from different guy. So,
I won't even get into asking you about what some of your favorite wineries are beyond some of the ones you mentioned on the list. I did want to ask you about desserts. So, maybe not that much available right now with curbside, but what are some of the desserts that you're going to be making when the reopening starts here?
This past week I did flan. I did a flan. The week before I did a cheesecake with I did a strawberry. I got rhubarb locally, and so I ended up doing like a strawberry rhubarb compote with that. I can't remember what I did the week before that. So I've been doing like one dessert a week so far. Desserts is kind of, it's just kind of what I can get and what inspires at that moment. Thinking about doing some kind of chocolate one in the next week or two. So just to keep people, I wasn't doing dessert when I first opened up doing curbside. And then there was a request, so then I started doing dessert and we're selling a ton.
So. Yeah, well, flan is one of the ultimate comfort foods, right?
Yeah. Yeah, flan is definitely one of those comfort foods. Actually, I don't know, we're doing a session called Dining Inside Out next month. I think it's June 15th. And I'll be doing flan for that Dining Inside Out session. Dining Inside Out basically is, we're going to be doing, focusing on the Finger Lakes region. And it's something that basically is a virtual tasting. So we make the food, it gets shipped out and distributed, and it can get shipped out anywhere in the United States. But a lot of people in the area are the ones taking advantage of it in the Finger Lakes region. So you order the food, it gets to your house, you get online, and we do like a virtual, so once you get all set up, so the chef gets on, show you how to plate it, how to heat it, and then talk about the food and what wines would go well with it. And that's like a virtual online experience.
And so you're targeting people that might want, not necessarily here in our area, but who live around the world, around the country?
Yeah. So for the ones that get shipped outside of this region, they get shipped out frozen. But for the ones in within this region, they get so it won't be frozen. But I guess, you know, they have pickup sites. So something new and different during this era. And it's been going well, and I'll be doing the session. I'll be doing their next one in June.
And this is a collaboration with a couple of chefs, right?
It's a collaboration with a couple of chefs, yeah. I was invited to do the one in June. For this one, it's me, and then it's, I don't know if you, I'm sure you do remember Carl from,
sure,
from Geneva on the Lake.
Carl Bray,
he's gonna
yeah.
be doing it also. Carl Bray's going to be doing it. He's working for Ventosa right now. And then Luke Hutchinson of Pure Catering out of Auburn, New York also.
And the dish Carl Bray's doing is grilled polenta and mushrooms. So I could eat mushrooms every day. I absolutely love mushrooms. So,
and I love mushrooms too. They all got their unique taste and flavor.
Yeah. You know, if someone opened a mushroom restaurant, I would be there almost every day, probably, just to see what was new in mushrooms. I don't go out and forage my own. I don't know enough about them to do that, but really, really delicious. And then the other menu item that Luke is doing, a pan-seared sirloin steak or kohlrabi steak, which is the vegetarian option with asparagus salad and wild ramp butter. Again, this is something focused on the Finger Lakes in terms of the chefs, but friends or family could participate with you from around the country. And that's, you know, I've seen that done with just wine tastings, but not with food. So glad you're working on this.
Yeah, so something a little different for this time. So, well, they've been doing a good amount of people though for the past few that they've done. So,
yeah. So you have time to order now, and if you want details, go to dininginsideout.com. You can get more information there. In the last dozen, 13 years, since you arrived in the Finger Lakes. Does it seem like you've been seeing more people from outside our area and around the world that have been showing up to eat and to visit the region?
Yeah, there definitely has been. You see people from all over the world just coming and visiting the region. I mean, definitely getting more recognition for being a wine country or a wine region. So that's a great thing. Just like I said, 13 years ago when I got here, it's nothing like it is now. It's just grown so much, in a good and a positive way. It's not like in a bad way. So that's a good thing.
You know, and thinking about your decision to move to the Finger Lakes, you could have gone to maybe California and worked in a restaurant in California, but you know that's an established wine region, and here in the Finger Lakes, you've been able to be a part of the changing of it, the growth of it. You've been able to play a big role. Where if you'd gone to an already famous wine region, you're probably not going to make a big splash in California. You know, it's just it's so big, it's so established. But here you have had a big impact.
Yeah, I guess I have. I'm thinking about it, you know, we've done tons of events here, and definitely, you know, promoting the Finger Lakes is something that this whole area keeps doing, and it has been fun, and it continues to be fun. You know, giving back to the community is another thing, and just showing that the Finger Lakes is a great region. Food-wise, the Finger Lakes region has definitely grown, I think, and over the years as well. So that's the great part. It's just not everyone that's around us is evolving also. So that's the best part.
So do any of your kids want to be chefs?
No, none of them want to be chefs. one wants to be a veterinarian. Another one is going to fashion school right now. And another one's actually going, the second oldest is going to NYU, this hopefully in the fall, for film and directing. So that's her goal. So they all want to go different ways. So,
but I imagine they all know how to cook at least, right?
Yeah, the three older ones definitely know how to cook. They definitely know how to cook. The funny thing is, like, the oldest one called me one day, and when this all happened, she's like, I had to buy all these frozen vegetables because I couldn't find anything fresh when this whole pandemic happened. And she's like, I really don't like these frozen vegetables.
Been spoiled, yes.
Yeah, I don't think they didn't realize that they were spoiled with all this, you know, the food that they were eating. I think they're... As they get older, they start realizing more what they have. I mean,
good.
They're very picky about where they eat also. So it's always a discussion if we go out somewhere. So
excellent. And Orlando, I don't know if you've been up in Rochester, right? In my neighborhood, there's a Dominican restaurant called El Latino. And I don't know if you've been there.
I haven't been there yet.
No? Well, once this shutdown is over summer may be too difficult a time for you to get away, but we've got to go over and try that out. It's one of my favorite restaurants in Rochester, just value and then just some really, really nice people and delicious food. They do a roast pork like no one else I've had. And again, small restaurant here in basically in the 19th Ward in Rochester. So
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, yeah. So Graft right now, Graft Wine and Cider Bar in Watkins Glen. What are the days that you're open for curbside?
Currently, we're open for curbside on Fridays and Saturdays. Don't pick up between 4 and 8. We're trying to figure out. We want to open up a couple more. Look at a couple more days. But I haven't figured out exactly what I want to do yet. So,
well, people can follow you on Facebook, online, right?
They can follow me on Facebook. They can follow me on Instagram. They can follow. We also have a website, craftwinecidervar.com, where they can look up our menu on there every Monday. By the afternoon, I put up the menu that we'll be serving for the weekend. And they can order online also. So.
Awesome. Well, super excited about Graft Wine and Cider Bar in Watkins Glen and having you with your own restaurant. And as you mentioned, it is a tiny kitchen. People can go to the back of the restaurant and kind of look in through the window and see and say hello to you.
Yeah.
It's.
I've had conversations with people while I was cooking. So.
Yeah.
It's always fun.
Right. Orlando, thank you for your time this morning. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your time also.
Have a great day. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Orlando Rodriguez, executive chef, owner of Graft Wine and Cider Bar, which is a lovely space in downtown Watkins Glen. Again, that sense of history, the renovations that Atwater Vineyards did to turn it into a tasting room were just beautifully done. Love what they did with the space, and now Orlando is taking that over, and the Graft Wine and Cider Bar is open during the shutdown, as I said, Friday, Saturday nights. But keep track of them, and when next time you're down in that area, stop in and look in on Graft Wine and Cider Bar. Not only a fabulous chef, but really also just one of the nicest people and chefs that I've run into. Orlando's glad that he's staying in the region to open his own restaurant, and he's been a big part of growing the local foods in Finger Lakes Bounty organization over many years now. The phone number, if you have favorite wineries, restaurants, etc., you might like to mention, michael@saverlife.com. Chris Clemens from exploringupstate.com sent me a couple photos of Finger Lake Cider House, which is near Trumansburg. It's on the west side of Cayuga Lake. And he was, one of the photos had some bottles of their ginger bear and switchel. These are a couple of drinks which are among my favorite in the Finger Lakes. And the ginger bear is a ginger beer, so non-alcoholic, with local ginger, like actually right from that farm, Good Earth Farm. They grow their own ginger, and it will spoil you for ginger beer. It's that good. And then the switchel is one of the only commercially made switchels I've ever seen. The only time before I'd had switchel was at the Genesee Country Village and Museum, and it's kind of a molasses vinegar. I don't know what else is in switchel. But that's sort of the basis of it. A drink that they would take out in the fields to quench their thirst while working out in the fields. Probably, a good source of salts and, whatever you need to keep hydrated out working in the field. It is, a farm drink. It's not something that you'll generally see on a restaurant beverage list, but they make their own switchel and sell it by the bottle at Finger Lake Cider House. So of course they have lots of ciders too, a couple dozen different hard ciders for you to sample, and really is kind of a cool place to stop and sample hard ciders, and then make sure to try their ginger beer and ask them about their spicy ginger beer, which they haven't made in a few years. And I'm not sure why they stopped making it, but it was an even spicier ginger beer that was it was outrageously good. I brought like a case of it back to Rochester and was giving it to people, and obviously I didn't do enough of that to help them build a base of of interest in the spicy ginger beer because they stopped making it. But I remain hopeful that they'll start again at some point. And if you ask them about the spicy ginger beer, maybe that will help. So Finger Lakes Cider House, and near not far from Trumansburg, and sort of the southwest part of Cayuga Lake. We will take a quick break. Be back after a word from our sponsors here on WYSL 1040.
I get no kick from champagne. Mere alcohol doesn't thrill me at all. So tell me, why should it be true that I get a kick out of you? I get a kick every time I see you.
Welcome back. Mike Oren Thomas here with the sponsors of The Grapevine. And without sponsors, I wouldn't be on the radio. So let them know that you listen. We have some great places for you to visit. And a number of them are expanding hours, partly because of the season, but also as the different phases of the shutdown keep moving forward, they're able to expand their hours. But again, some of them, this is generally when they would expand their hours anyway. So Herd Orchards has opened their farm market, and you can get some fresh pies, freshly baked pies, and their jams, jellies, and preserves. They also have asparagus and rhubarb, not unlimited supply. So if you're going there just for that, or if you're looking for a particular kind of pie, you should call first, herdorchards.com. It's Route 104, just west of Brockport, 638-8838, and herdorchards.com. And their pies are extraordinary. My favorite pies anywhere by far. And it's the crust is beautiful. The fruit is amazing, and they're not too sweet. They don't use tapioca and starch and other kinds of things in their pies to make them. You know, you take a fruit pie, and if you can cut a fruit pie and it all stays in place when you put the slice on your plate, it's probably not a fruit pie I'm interested in. I just love the way they do it at Herd Orchards. It's the high benchmark of what pies could be, and so I seldom have pie elsewhere. I'm spoiled by what they do. You can get frozen pies too, to put a couple in your freezer and have on hand. They have frozen cherry and apple pies, so if you go out there, maybe get a one or two of those to have at some point in the future. Herdorchards.com, 638-8838. Also brought to you by Eagle Crest Vineyards. Will Neen from Eagle Crest Vineyards is preserving the past, and it's a long history there at Eagle Crest, going back to 1872. But he's also looking toward the future with solar panels, a large array out in the field to power the winery. And they've set up a purewineonline.com shop, so you can order line online, order the wine, perhaps their Unoak Chardonnay or Cabernet Franc, maybe their No Fracken Way Red or their Hemlock Lake Red. They've got lots of wines to choose from, and it's, again, purewineonline.com. You can shop. Also, the tasting room is open on weekends for pickup, and they do ship for free. That's eaglecrestvineyards.com for more information. Also brought to you by Broccolo Tree and Lawn Care and Broccolo Garden Center. They are open for the season on 441, just east of Turquoise Road and Route 250, and have a lot of native plants available, a lot of plants to help attract pollinators. They've done a lot of work with wildlife habitats and native gardens, and so that's reflected in the plants that they carry in the nursery, and some great people to help you. If you have questions, they can also design and install gardens, or maybe a patio, or perhaps a water feature. maybe a vegetable garden. They do design installation as well. It's BercoloTreeAndLawn.com. If you want some help maintaining your yard, they can help. 424-4476. And finally, Casa Larga Vineyards. They're not far from Bercolo, just down Route 250 beyond Fairport, sort of the south end of Fairport on Turkhill Road. You'll find Casa Larga. And they're doing shipping and curbside pickup. It's casalarga.com for more information, and looking forward to having their tasting room open for tastings, hopefully mid-June. That's the goal now here in the Finger Lakes. But you can have delicious Casa Larga wines now and perhaps have them shipped to you, or maybe send some Casa Larga wines to family or friends. Let them know you're thinking about them. Maybe send them a mixed case that includes sparkling wine, an ice wine, maybe several reds, several whites. There's lots of options at Casa Larga, and casalarga.com for more details. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on The Grapevine.
Down in Petersburg, everything's fine. All them cats is drinking that wine. Drinking that mess is their delight. When you get drunk, start singing all night. Drinking wine's for the you to drink wine. Wine's for the you to drink wine. Wine's for the you to drink wine. Pass that bottle to me. Drinking that mess is their delight. When it gets drunk, start fighting all night. Knock down windows and tear down doors. Drinking half gallons and calling for more. Drinking wine's for the you.
Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here. It is The Grapevine on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. And the grapes are growing around our region. The vines growing quickly. Just like jumped ahead with this, the hot weather that we had. 93 this past Tuesday. That really ramps things up as the vines just go into overdrive, and it's amazing how the leaves have come out on the trees, and the grapevines have started growing, and the season is off and running in the vineyards. In the next hour, later in the next hour, we'll talk with Living Roots Winery, Rochester's urban winery. And we'll have them on sort of midway through the next hour to get an update on what they're doing. And this is an unusual winery in the sense that they have operations both in Australia and in the Finger Lakes. They offer Australian wines that they've made here in their tasting room on University Avenue in Rochester. And they also make wines here in the Finger Lakes. So they effectively get in two harvests every year, which a lot of assistant winemakers and people who are interested in becoming a winemaker will do that. They'll go to New Zealand or Australia, perhaps Chile or Argentina during the winter, and that's springtime is when they harvest, and then come back here for the fall in the Finger Lakes and harvest here. So Living Roots does that as a business and effectively gives us local Australian wine, which I'm hoping more restaurants will embrace that idea of, if you're going to offer wines from around the world, maybe make them have a connection to Rochester. There's some California wineries that have direct connections to Rochester. There's examples like this with Australian wines that are made by someone here locally. And really, some of the best Australian wine that I've had in quite a while. We tend to have, or at least I tend to have, Australian wines that are more mass-produced. I don't go to the wine shop and look for unusual and more expensive Australian wines. In the wine shop, I'm usually looking for local wines that I haven't been able to get to visit the winery maybe. And I don't tend to buy wines from around the world very often. But this is a case where you can taste Australian wines that I love them. I was really just, you know, it was a window into small production, really, really delicious Australian wines, which are higher in alcohol. That's because it's a warmer climate, like California, and so it's a different style of wine, and it doesn't seem as common these days that people will say Finger Lakes wines are too light or are and don't have enough flavor, and that seems to be going away a bit. People perhaps are more aware, accepting that the Finger Lakes wines, the reds in particular, are more of a European style, more of a cool climate style, and very different. Even though the label may say Syrah, it's not a California Syrah. It's not a Shiraz from Australia. It is a cool climate Syrah, more similar to some that are many that are made in Europe. So, again, it's a window into a different world of wine to be able to taste these local Australian wines at Living Roots Winery. And also just a gorgeous building. And as I said earlier, the Finger Lakes region is on course so far to have tasting rooms reopen in mid-June, maybe ideally June 12th. But we won't know for quite a while, probably. It's a wait and see how these first two phases go, how careful people are, and one of the reasons to be extra careful right now is so that we get to phase three. If people are not careful, we will have phase three postponed if infection rates go up. So be careful, partly just to help other people and businesses continue on this reopening trajectory that we're on. So wear a mask and protect other people. So June 12th in the Finger Lakes, Western New York, which opened us slightly later than the Finger Lakes, maybe a little behind that. I'm not sure. So it's not uniform across New York State. It is purely by region at this point. But one of our listeners, Jeff, sent me an article from the Buffalo newspaper about wineries in Western New York and how hard it is to operate a business when you can't invite people into a tasting room and can only do curbside and shipping. They are open, but they're doing far less business, probably exponentially less business than they would otherwise, especially right now as we get into prime tourism season. In a normal year, the tasting rooms would be full of people, and college graduations and all those things would have drawn in lots of visitors, and the wineries are not seeing really any of that. So you can show your support in the short term by ordering and shipping wine to yourself or to someone else, maybe as a thank you. And again, by keeping us on this trajectory of being careful so that we can get to phase three on schedule, which would be about June 12th. If you have comments and questions, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. And again, the next hour, we'll talk a little bit about Living Roots Winery. We'll be back after the top of the hour. Michael Warren Thomas here on The Grapevine.